This is Ravening Wolves by Monica Farrell from 1949. Croat's plea, which remains unheeded. Parenthesis. The following is a letter written by Mr. Privslav Grizogono, a Croat, former minister in the government of Yugoslavia, to Dr. Alojzis Stepinac, Croat Roman Catholic Archbishop of Zagreb. The letter was written at Zemun, February 8, 1942. Your Grace, I write this to you as man to man, as a Christian to a Christian. I have held this up for months, in the vain hope that the terrible news from Croatia would cease, so that I could settle my mind and write you in a more amiable atmosphere. For fully 10 months now, however, the Serbs in Croatia are being exterminated in a most beastly manner, with billions of their property subjected to destruction, while the face of an honorable Croat blushes with shame and anger. Since the first day of the independent Croatian state, the Serbs have been massacred, parentheses, Gospic, Gudubac, Bosnia, Krajina, etc., end parenthesis. And this massacring has continued to this day. These atrocities do not amount to simple killings alone. They aim at the extermination of every Serb, men, women, and children, and with terribly wild tortures of the victims. These innocent Serbs were stuck on poles alive and fires built on their bare chests. Literally, they were roasted alive, being burned to death in their homes and in their churches. In many cases, boiling water was poured on living victims before their mutilation. Their flesh was salted and their eyes gouged out while they were still living. Their ears and noses were lopped off and their tongues cut out. The beards and mustaches of clergy, together with their skin, were ripped off by knives, while the victims' sex organs were cut off and stuffed into their mouths. Some were tied to trucks and dragged, while other victims had their arms and legs broken and their heads spiked. Their heads were smashed by crowbars. Many were thrown into the deep cisterns and caves, and then literally bombed to pieces. Their children were thrown into fire or scalding water, and then fed to the fired lime furnaces. Other children were torn apart by the legs, their heads were crushed against walls, and their spines were broken against rocks. These and many other methods of torture were employed against the Serbs, tortures which normal people cannot conceive. Thousands and thousands of bodies floated down the Sava, Drava, and Danube rivers and their tributaries. Many of these bodies bore tags, such as Direction, Belgrade to King Peter. In one boat on the Sava, there was a pile of children's heads with a woman's head, presumably that of the mother of the children, and it was labeled Meat for Jovan's Market, Belgrade, meaning meat for the Serbian market. The case of Milenka Bosanic from Stepanca is a particularly gruesome one, because they ripped her unborn child out of her with a knife. In Bosnia, a huge pile of roasted heads was found. Utensils full of Serbian blood were also discovered, and this was the hot blood of their murdered brothers that other Serbs were forced to drink. Countless women and girls were raped, mothers in the presence of their daughters, and daughters in the presence of their mothers, while many women, girls, and small children were ushered off to Ustashi garrisons to be used as prostitutes. Rape was committed even before the altars of the Orthodox Church. In Petrinja County, for instance, a son was forced to attack his mother. About 3,000 Serbs were murdered in the Serbian Orthodox Church at Glina, and the massacre of Serbs before the altar at Kladuša with sledgehammers is something that may never be mentioned in history. There are detailed and official minutes or reports of these unheard-of crimes. They were so terrible as to have shocked even the Germans and the Italians. Many pictures were taken of these massacres and torture orgies. The Germans claim the Croats did these same things during the 30 Years' War, and that, since then, there has been a proverb in Germany, quote, "God save us from cholera, hunger, and the Croats," end quote. Even the Germans from Srem hate us and act more or less humanely toward the Serbs. The Italians have photographed a utensil holding 31.5 kilograms of Serbian eyes, and one Croat, who came to Dubrovnik, decorated with a string of eyes and with two wreaths of Serbian tongues. The horror in the camps where thousands of Serbs were murdered or left to die from hunger, cold, and mistreatment is indescribable. The Germans tell about one camp in Lika in which the Croats confined thousands of Serbs. Yet when they came there, they found the camp empty, flooded with blood, and clothing strewn everywhere. Today, in the camp of Jasinovac, thousands of Serbs are being tortured and murdered. In this bitter winter, they're kept in gypsy barracks without enough straw or covers, and their food consists of but 2 potatoes a day. Nothing like this has ever happened in the history of Europe. We must go to Asia, to the times of Tamerlane and Genghis Khan, or to Africa, to the states of beastly Negro rulers, to find anything similar. The Croatian name has been blemished with dishonor and shame for centuries for these atrocities. Nothing can clear us now. We won't dare mention our quote-unquote thousand-year-old culture, even to the last gypsy in the Balkans anymore, because even gypsies were never so beastly. Why do I write this to you, since you are not a political character and not responsible for this? Here is why. In all these unprecedented crimes, worse than pagan, our Catholic Church has also participated in 2 ways. First, a large number of priests, clerics, friars, and organized Catholic youth actively participated in all these crimes. But more terrible even, Catholic priests became camp and group commanders, and, as such, ordered and tolerated the horrible tortures, murders, and massacres of a baptized people. Second, one Catholic priest slit the throat of an Orthodox Serbian minister. None of this could have been done without the permission of their bishops, and if it was done, they should have been brought to the ecclesial court and unfrocked. Since this did not happen, then ostensibly the bishops gave their consent, by acquiescence at least. Moreover, the Catholic Church has used all means to Catholicize forcefully the remaining Serbs. And while the land streamed with the innocent blood of martyrs, and while the moanings of the surviving unfortunates were still audible. The friars and nuns carried Ustashi knives in one hand and a cross and a prayer book in the other. The province of Srem is covered with the leaflets of Bishop Akshemovich, which were printed in his own print shop at Dakova. He calls upon the Serbs through these leaflets to save their lives and property, recommending the Catholic faith to them. It would seem our church wanted to prove it could murder souls like the Ustashi do bodies. And worse suspicion falls here upon the Catholic Church because, at the same time, many Serbian churches were destroyed, while others were converted into Catholic. Though we Croatians shall never be able to erase this shamefulness which we have brought upon ourselves with these crimes, we can at least lessen our responsibility before the world and our consciences if we raise our voices in protest against all this infamy. This is the last hour for us to do so. After all the great crimes in history, punishments follow. What will happen to us, Croats, if the impression is formed that we participated in all these crimes to the finish? Again, it is the duty of the Church to raise its voice, first, because it is a Church of Christ, second, because it is powerful. The great Catholic bishop in Germany had the courage to raise his voice in behalf of the haunted Jews, yet in our country not one bishop has decried the fate of the innocent Christian Serbs, who have suffered more than the Jews in Germany. For this reason, the greatest responsibility, and both divine and human punishment, shall fall upon the heads of the Catholic Church, and also upon the people, if they do not repent in time for these grave and terrible sins. I write you this about these terrible crimes to save my soul, and I leave it to you to find a way to save your soul. Signed, Prislav Grizogono, former minister of the Kingdom of Yugoslavia at Zemun, February 8, 1942. By the time you have read thus far, your heart will be sad, and no doubt you will be filled with amazement that such terrible things could happen in this supposedly enlightened age. That these crimes should be perpetrated in the name of religion and so-called Christianity is galling in the extreme to every lover of the meek and lowly Jesus. But to be stirred only either sympathetically or indignantly is not enough. It is because we can see the trend of affairs in Australia, leading to a similar climax in this country, that we of the Light and Truth Gospel Crusade have taken the step of faith of having this book published to warn the people. God says to the prophet Ezekiel, "Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coasts, and set him for their watchman, if, when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet, and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity. but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. Ezekiel 33, verses 2 through 6. We remember the tragedy of Pearl Harbor, which was the result of an unfaithful watchman who deliberately held up the message for 17 hours. We feel it our bounden duty to warn the people of Australia that the Church of Rome has taken possession of this land. This could never have occurred had it not been for the indifference of Protestants and the refusal of some of the finest Christians to witness against the idolatry of Romanism and to evangelize Roman Catholics. This concludes part 6 of Ravening Wolves by Monica Farrell from 1949.